Good evening, family. How you doing this beautiful Memorial Day weekend? Are any of you doing any family things for Memorial Day? Yeah? Hopefully. Man, come on. It's beautiful out there. You're in Southern California. And if you aren't getting outside to enjoy this type of weather, man, you're missing out. So I'm sorry. Grab your dog. Grab your cat. I don't know how cats do at the beach, but anyway, grab your animal, your guinea pig, whatever, your friends, family. Get outside and enjoy this. Have some fellowship. And while you're doing it, hey, share Jesus with them, right? Right? So without any further ado, let's get into the study tonight. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Oh, Heavenly Father, you are just so good. When we think about Memorial Day and the blood that was shed for this country so that we could have the freedoms we enjoy, we're also reminded, Lord, of the blood that was shed for our sin on the cross, Lord, the price that your Son paid for us, all because you love us so much. So, Father, just protect us this Memorial Day. Give us those opportunities to share your love. And Father, bless your teaching tonight. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. And all God's men and women said, amen. 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 Well, tonight we will not officially be starting the book of Revelation. In fact, that's the next book right after Jude. We'd be starting up the book of Revelation, but Caleb, he wanted to kick it off. So cool. So what we're going to do tonight is what I'm calling a prequel to Revelation, a prequel. Now, you guys know a prequel is, right? It's a prequel is a story, or in this case, a teaching that leads into the main story or teaching to come. In Lord of the Rings, right? How many of you have read Lord of the Rings? Lord J.R. Tolkien's classic. What is the prequel to The Lord of the Rings? The Hobbit. The Hobbit. Great. I have some readers out there. I was hoping, right? Okay, Star Wars guys. Episode 4, A New Hope. You have the prequel what? There were actually three prequels. But what was the first one called? The Phantom Menace. May the fourth be with you, right? I'm just saying that's a prequel. Well, on Sunday nights, we have been studying through the New Testament. And in January of 2019 was when this study started. We started in the Gospel of Mark, and we've gone through all of the New Testament books up until now, Revelation. Can you believe it? It's been 5 years. Have any of you been with us for all 5 years? I've been here. Yeah, Breek, awesome. Yeah, well, there's a few of us, but I'll tell you, that's huge. I mean, we're getting through the whole New Testament once we finish up Revelation. So quiz time, guys. Quiz time. You guys are all Bible scholars. How many books are there, and no, Brendan, how many books are there in the Bible? 66. Great, great. Hey, see, we have scholars out there. You guys know your Bible? Yes, you do. So, 66, God-inspired, and more accurate, 66 God-breathed books. All that we as God's children may lack nothing and be thoroughly equipped for every work that God has equipped us for. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this. He said, Paul says, put it this way. He said, it's good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman, ladies, of God may be complete, that is whole, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Of these 66 books, how many Old Testament books are there? Ah, hand down. 39, very good. That leaves 27 New Testament books, God-inspired. Well, tonight, we're starting to get in that prequel of the last, final book of the Bible. Just for fun, how many of you have studied the book of Revelation before? Yeah, so, hey, we have scholars out there. So here's the thing. If you hear us teaching some type of heresy, I want you to call us out, right? Pull us, get the hook, you know, pull us to the side, take it now, but talk to us afterwards, you know, because sometimes John really has human visions of what he's trying to describe in this book. So now be honest with me. When you think of the book of Revelation, some people think it's a little bit scary. Anybody? A little bit scary? Maybe a little bit fearful? You go, man, what is John starting to reveal to us here? In fact, it may be even hard to understand. Any of you feel like sometimes it's hard to understand? Well, tonight on, not just tonight, but over the next few months, we're going to be going through this book, and we're going to make it clear as mud, right? So everyone can understand it as best as it can be understood in human passages. Some scholars say, though, that as many as 50% of all churches refuse to teach the book of Revelation. I say that's crazy. They say it's too hard to understand. It holds no practical application for our walk with Jesus today, and that all it does is confuse the people in the congregation. Well, I'll tell you, these guys, they couldn't be further from the truth. We must be fully equipped for every good work. That means we must dig into God's word to understand it, and we must learn from the full counsel of God. That's why we're here at Refuge, because that's what we do here. We take it book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And those that refuse, though, to teach the book of Revelation, man, they're missing out on a huge promise of God. Turn with me now. Book of Revelation. Now, I know I'm not officially teaching it. This is an unofficial teaching of a couple of verses. So I may get my hand slapped, but I'm not teaching. This is a prequel of things to come, right? So turn with me to the book of Revelation. Guys, end of the Bible. It's easy to find. Yeah, find there chapter 1. Yeah, good. Now, do any of you, before we get started, any of you have a study Bible? Study Bible, good. Study Bibles are really handy. What do they have in the very back of your study Bibles? Maps, okay. Maps, they tell us where to go, right? What we've seen, what we're studying. What else do they have back there? Dictionaries, good. Dictionaries that explain terms, explain what's been going on, what a word means. And there's one other thing. Do you remember? A concordance, right? A concordance is where they give you one word. Let's say you want to learn about marriage, and it will show you all those places where marriage is listed. Well, it's in the back of the book that you find all these treasures. And that's what we find in the book of Revelation here. In school, some of you just got out of school. Yeah? Some of you took some math classes. Did any of you ever cheat and go to the very back of the book and look what's there? Do you know what's there in the back of math books? The answers, right. See, in the back of this book, the Bible, we find the answers to some of the toughest questions that we'll ask in life. Questions like, what was I made for? What happens after I die? And how do I fit into God's plan? In some ways, when believers overlook this wonderful book, man, they're missing out on a blessing. So, Book of Revelation, where I'd like you to look at is chapter 1, verse 3. The author will learn next week, because I'm not teaching it now. I just want you to know. The author, John, writes, "Blessed or happy is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." This is truly a threefold blessing of God. It's for the one who reads, that's me. It's for the one who hears, that's you. And to the one who keeps the things that are written in it. There is no other book in the Bible that promises a blessing just by the reading and hearing and keeping of these words. So, guys, do you feel blessed tonight? You should feel blessed tonight. God says there's a promise attached with this reading and hearing of it. Just by hearing this word, you have received a promise from God that you will be blessed just by hearing it. No other book in the Bible promises this. So I hope you feel blessed, because you are. Sunday night family, do you feel, though, like blessing others? Yeah? Then stand up with me. Stand up for a moment. I know, we have to stretch our legs, get the blood flowing. Yeah, we won't do any dance moves here. Let's read this passage out loud, right? Are you ready? Everyone there? Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 only. Here we go. "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." You can sit down. You have just been blessed again, just by reading this scripture. You have also now blessed others around you, because they've heard the words you've been speaking. They've heard these truths of God. And this is what happens in our daily life too. As you ingest God's word, and they become part of your soul, when they become part of your workplace, when they become part of your praise, when they become part of your conversation, you not only receive the blessing yourself, but man, you bless your family, you bless your kids, you bless your workplace, and everyone who hears those words, because that now they know how to live a righteous life before God. You have blessed everyone around you, but now comes the real challenge. We must learn how to keep those words that God has given us in our mouths, in our ears, what we listen to, and most of all, in our hearts and in our minds. Even what we think about is important. The ideas, we keep the things close that have greatest value to us. We keep these things safe, that is, biblically speaking, protected from error. When we use these truths that we have been taught, then to bless others. Now, is there anyone here tonight that would like to be blessed more by God? Right? Is that a rhetorical question? I mean, we all want to be blessed more by God. Then here's the idea. Read aloud God's word every day. Read it with your wife or husband. Study it with your friends and family. And God's unfailing promise to you is that as you read and study this book, you will be blessed. And God will then use you to bless others. Amen? So, Book of Revelation. The Greek word for revelations is apokalypsis. Apok, like a pack. Apokalypsis. Let's try that. Apokalypsis. Apokalypsis. Sounds like apocalypse, doesn't it? It's where we get the the word apocalypse from. But when you think about the word apocalypse, man, it kind of makes you uneasy. It makes you feel like future prophecy is coming. It makes you feel like war and destruction. And although there is a time, man, when that enemy that has ruled the world is going to be decimated by Jesus when he returns. And it happens. There won't be a war, will there? He's just going to speak one word, and poof, the whole enemy is destroyed. But see, many people get the wrong understanding that the book of Revelation is only about future events and prophecy, floods, plagues, earthquakes, war, famine, destruction. You go, why me, Lord? Why do I have to study this book? But our author, John, tells us exactly why he wrote this book. You guys still in Revelation? Take a look now at verse 1. John describes this letter as the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Jesus Christ, which God gave to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Now, Caleb will cover this more in detail next week, but John says that this letter is to reveal Jesus Christ. Revelation. Remember what the Greek word is? Apocalypsis. Apocalypsis. Apocalypsis means to unveil, uncover, or reveal. You might think of a sculptor, maybe Michelangelo, right? Getting up there and he's carved out the Venus de Milo and now he's covered it with a sheet. And then he has all his techies come with all the cameras, you know, video cameras, and all the high dignitaries show up, and guys are out there, and suddenly there's a countdown. There's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and whoosh, this veil is lifted, and it reveals the sculpture. In fact, when you think about it, that's what the whole Bible is doing. It's revealing Jesus Christ. In fact, from Genesis all the way up to Revelation, they create these bookends with a common theme, all to reveal God's plan of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's God's revelation to his creation, man. Since the beginning of creation, see, mankind has been seeking purpose and answers to life. I think we've all felt that, haven't we? Man, there's got to be more than just going to work every day and doing the same old job, cleaning the same old toilets, changing those dirty diaper baby guys that, you know, whenever you change the diaper, immediately they do another one. Did you notice that when you change your kids' diapers? You put them on a clean diaper, they're all nice and fresh, all cleaned up, and boom, gives you a new surprise right there. You know, it's like you go, there's got to be more to life than this. And there is, family. And it's all wrapped up in God's plan for us, and in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. So here's an easy question for you tonight. Why does God reveal himself to us? Why, guys? Come on, you guys know this one. Why? Yes, Jesus loves me. Come on, because Jesus loves us. God loves us. He desires a deep relationship with us. Scripture says all over that he delights in us, that we are his chosen people. We are adored and equally loved by him. Scripture is clear. Our God desires a personal and intimate relationship with each of us. But see, there's a problem in our relationship with him. It's our sinful nature. It separates us from a holy God, because just as light cannot be in the same presence as darkness, they just can't coexist. So sinful man cannot exist in the presence of a holy God. So God had to do something. He had to create a plan, and it began in Genesis, and he knew what was going to happen. Do you think he knew what was going to happen in the Garden of Eden? Yeah. Yeah, he gave man free will, you know, and I'm sorry, man listened to his wife, and hey, you know, I'm not saying anything there, but they both fell into sin together, okay? Let's just put it that way. But God reveals his plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. So how does God reveal himself? Well, in the rest of our study tonight, we'll be seeing how God reveals himself to man as we do a quick study. Now, this will be quick, I promise, of Psalm 19. So let's go to Psalm 19. Everybody knows how to get to the Psalms, right? Take your Bible, split it in half. Oh, my goodness, there's the Psalms. Yeah, go to Psalm 19. We're going to Psalm 19 right here. Yeah, we are. By the way, if you hit things like Proverbs or any of the prophets, you've gone too far. And if you hit anything like Exodus or Deuteronomy and stuff, you don't know how to split your Bible. I'm just saying, come on, give it another try. Put it together, split it in half. There's the Psalms. Go to Psalm 19 and away you go. So Psalm 19, everyone there? So the question we're going to answer is, how does God reveal himself? Verse 1, King David says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, that is in the heavens, he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit is to the other, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." By the way, we're not going to do an in-depth study of Psalm 19, like I said. But what I really want you to get from this psalm is listen to the heart of King David as he wrote this psalm. Imagine for a moment, little King David. He's about 14 years old. He's out in the pasture being a good son with the sheep, tending the sheep. Remember, it was out there that God protected him as he killed bear, killed wolf, we know, killed lion. And he's out there and he's just chilling with the sheep, taking care of him, protecting him. Maybe he's looking up at the stars. And he's going, "Man, God, how big are you?" Maybe he's saying something like he did in Psalm 8. "What is man, God, that you should be mindful of him? You have crowned him with glory and honor, and yet, God, you have created everything. It is your handiwork, not mine. So why, God? Why have you blessed me like this? Why do you provide for me so well? Have these sheep, have my family that cares and loves me. You have created everything. It is your handiwork. And yet, what have I done that you should bless me so much? To you alone deserves all the glory." David declared outright. He goes, "The very heavens, That is the stars. He looked out there and saw the planets and the Milky Way galaxy. He didn't know what to call them. He didn't have a telescope, but he meant the heavens declare the glory of God. Those stars, the galaxies, the planets in the sky, they never stop revealing your vast knowledge, your wisdom. Even the daily rising and setting of the sun display God's constant faithfulness and his care for us. Have you guys ever felt like that? Maybe at the beach, a beach night. By the way, beach night's coming up. Beach nights, last Sunday of June, July, and August. Last Sunday of June and August. Very good. And it starts at 5 p.m. Very good. How did you know it started at 5? Yeah, amazing. Guys are great. So beach nights. So maybe it's been one of those nights at beach nights that you've walked out among the surf when it's dark and you hear the crashing waves. And man, you went to the beach with all this burden on your shoulder. Maybe you had to kick the dog a little bit or hit the punching bag a few more times than you should to get out some of that anxiety. And yet you go down to the beach and you just hear those crashing waves. And man, you see the faithfulness of God all around you. How he's provided for the creatures in the ocean, creatures that some we get to eat, like salmon and tuna and good things like that. You know, all these joys, you know. But you just see God's provision everywhere out there as nature just washes over you. Or maybe for you, it's been at something grandeur, some majesty like the Grand Canyon. Any of you been to the Grand Canyon? Overwhelming beauty, right? Or Zion National Park, yeah? Zion, yeah? I mean, amazing to see the beauty, the wisdom, the creativity of God. You know, I like to think that my wife's a great painter. But when I see God's sunsets out there on the ocean or in Maui, or I'm sorry, you know, on the top of a hill, man, you go, who am I, God, that you should give me any attention at all? How great are you? How majestic are you? All of creation and everything that I see and hear, man, it speaks volumes of a loving, caring, and intelligent creator. King David shouted, "The heavens declare the glory of God." In Proverbs, King David's son Solomon, he says this. He says, "It's only a fool that says in his heart that there is no God." Right? When you look around you, only a fool says there is no God. But the apostle adds to this letter, to his Rome, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 1, Paul writes, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is God's attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." That is the Jewish leaders for denying him. "Their foolish hearts were darkened," speaking again of these Jewish, wayward Jewish leaders, "and professing to be wise," Paul says, "they became fools," like Solomon called them. So how does God reveal himself? The first way, God reveals himself in all of his creation and everything that is made. The theological term for this is general or natural revelation. That's general or natural revelation. And that's how God is revealed in everything from geology to the skies, to the science of the oceans, to our body, how intricate it is made. But the second way that God reveals himself is what we call special or specific revelation. Look at verse 7 in Psalm 19. God writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." See, all of creation reveals generally the nature of God, his wisdom, his beauty, his knowledge, his creativity, I'll get that word. But God, he also reveals himself in very specific ways, at very specific times. So what is King David talking about here? Look at the key words. It's the law, the testimony. That is the testimony of believers, the statutes, the commandments. All of these words refer to what? God's word, God's law, and keeping that law. So one of those ways that God reveals himself is in this book we're holding in our hand, the Bible. It's a specific or special way that God reveals himself to man. Another question, okay? Don't want you to fall asleep. How many authors are there? And there's a little bit of debate on this. How many authors are there in the Bible? 40? 40? They say the lowest is about 40, up to 44. Correct. So there's 40 authors all writing, especially blessed by God. But God inspired these pre-selected individuals to write this soul-saving love letter to man. It was God-breathed, like we previously said. 40-some authors, over 1,500 years, all from different walks of life. Can you imagine that? You know, you think about a fisherman writing a text. You think about a physician or a shepherd writing some text that's in this Bible. But all writing about one common theme. And what was that common theme again? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Who but God could have inspired these 40 writers over 1,500 years to share such a unified message of God's salvation by grace, through faith in Christ? That's how we're saved. King David testifies that it's God's word is to be more valued than any other earthly treasure, more to be desired than the finest fine bullion you find in Fort Knox, more valuable to us than that. God's word, though, when we take it personal, should be sweeter in our mouth than honey straight from the honeycomb. Because in keeping them, we know we're going to be blessed and we're going to bless others. One of the greatest rewards I think we get from keeping God's law is knowing that we're living a life that pleases our Heavenly Father. You might say it makes our God grin from ear to ear when we value and keep his commandments. Let's face it, we're just making our dad happy. Isn't that what our kids and our grandkids want to do? They just want to do what makes dad happy as they follow his instructions. But see, also, God revealed himself to very specific people like Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, but at a very specific time for a specific purpose. You might remember the story from Genesis 12. And this is how it goes. The Lord said to Abram, that is Abraham later on, get out of your country. In other words, step out in faith. Follow me from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. This is God speaking. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. A lot of blessings here, right? I will bless those who bless you, and yet I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this is called a specific calling. Was given to a specific person so that he'd gather people of his own. God wanted people that would listen to him, follow him. He said, these will be my children, and I will be their God. And we know those children to be who? Come on. Children of Israel. Good, good, good. In the same manner, God revealed himself and his plan to Moses in what? What? Burning bush. Good, good. God revealed himself to Jacob in a dream. Yeah, remember? God revealed his plan and purpose to the prophets. And most of all, God reveals himself completely in and through his son, Jesus Christ. Paul said to the Colossians that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God, right? He's the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus himself told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But I think this point of God revealing himself in specific ways is best described when we went through the book of Hebrews. That's in chapter 1. The author writes, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past, that is, revealed himself in the time past, to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, that is, Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom also made the worlds. So, God reveals himself in his creation that's called natural or general revelation. God reveals himself in very special or specific ways to men that he uses for a purpose. Yet think of the prophets as chosen men of God to be his mouthpiece. And God revealed himself most completely in Jesus Christ. This is called the special or specific revelation. But there's one more way that God reveals himself. God also reveals himself in a very personal way. Look at verse 12 of Psalm 19. King David, now after pointing out how God reveals himself both in creation and God's words, now adds in verse 12, and listen to how personal this gets. Who can understand his errors, King David writes. That is, who can understand his own sin? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. General revelation, specific revelation, and now personal revelation. See, God loves us. He cares for us, for each of us very deeply, maybe deeply, more deeply than we could ever imagine or understand. Because I'll tell you, when I'm being a sinner, when I'm thinking sinful thoughts, when my mind is distracted by the things and sometimes the video games of this world, when I'm distracted, man, I get my eyes off of God. And yet he never stops getting his eyes off of me. He's always watching me, looking after me, caring for me. He's so faithful. See, God wants to hear from you every single day of your life. He wants to hear about the desires you have in your heart. Hey, I really want to be an opera singer. I want to be a professional bowler. You know, maybe you want to be an architect or design huge buildings. God wants to know those desires of your heart, the dreams that you only wish you could come true. But God, he also wants to know when you're struggling in life. He doesn't just want to hear about the good things like me. I like to hear more about the good things that's going on in my kids' lives. As they come up to me and they said, Dad or Grandpa, this is going on, man. I'm going to college. I'm going to get my degree over here. I'm going to Northwestern. I wish. But it's one of those things that, you know, as a parent, I want to hear the good things. I don't just want to hear when their car breaks down. Man, when they got mad at their boss and they quit suddenly, and yet they still have rent on their apartment, I go, what were you thinking? You know? And yet God, he's not that way. He wants to hear those times when you're struggling. It might be a financial or health problem, work or career related. You may be struggling in your marriage or have a son or daughter that you've just lost your patience with. Jesus, see, he knew very well every man's weakness, his limitations, and his temptations in this life. That's why he's our great high priest. That's why we can come to him with all our concerns, our praises, and man, when we need his guidance. He suffered in every manner. Yet he did not sin, and he can help us to walk that same road. But here's the real final question for us tonight. How has God revealed himself to you in the past? And how is God revealing himself to you today? Tonight, even right now. You might say, I've seen God reveal himself in my past, but today, man, it just feels like, you ever have those moments where you feel like God has gone silent? I mean, it's like, man, I'm praying, I'm talking with my brothers and sisters, and we're lifting those up. But see, just as the Grand Canyon can never cease to declare the glory of God, or that the waves in the ocean can stop crashing on the beach to speak of God's beauty and majesty, so God never stops speaking. He's not always telling us what we want to hear. Sometimes his silence is really our lack of listening. But God never sleeps. He's always awake for our sake, always teaching, always leading, always guiding us, always comforting us, always leading us in the paths of righteousness. The question really is, am I taking the time to listen for his instruction? And yet, sometimes God is just telling you to do what we don't like to do. We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait in the line of Starbucks or Costco when we're getting our gas, right? We don't like to wait in lines of Disneyland. We don't want to wait. We want answers now. Yet God doesn't work on our time. He works on God's time because he knows that if we're just given everything immediately, that man, we're not going to look to him. Sometimes he says, wait, stop, slow down. Have any of you guys ever been on a high-speed train? Yeah, high-speed train. I've been on a few there in Munich. That goes from Munich to Paris. Man, it hauls. I mean, vroom! And on each stop, they have these billboards up there. They have billboards of signs, things that people want to sell you stuff. They have maps of where you should be getting off so you can get to your right destination, where to go, where to navigate the city, what station you should be getting onto and off of. Well, God is always out there at those stations. He's holding up his sign. His billboards are always there. The maps, man, they're always out there. The problem is that we live lives in such a high-speed train. We're traveling at this fast pace. We can't read the billboards as they're rushing by. Man, they're buzzing by. What did that say? What did you say, God? One of my best friends at church wrote a song. It's called Stop, Look, and Listen. And it goes simply like this. It says, I'm gonna stop, look and listen to you, Lord. Just goes like that. I'm going to stop, look, and listen. We teach our children before crossing the street to be safe. Slow down. Don't go running into the street. We're to stop, look, listen. Stop before you get over your head and you get hurt. Look, seek God's direction in your life and listen to that still small voice of God as he speaks to you. Now, some of you might say, yes, I always talk to God when I'm in trouble. I'd say, hey, that's good. That's good. God wants to be there for you. He wants to give you direction and comfort and provision and healing, of course, when your heart is broken. I'd say, great. Go to him in those times. But don't neglect the opportunity for him to help keep you out of trouble in the first place. See, God knows everything from the beginning to the end, and it's his wisdom that will lead you through any trial in life. The question is, are we taking the time to listen for his instruction? God has some very powerful words of wisdom to say to Joshua as he's headed into the promised land. You might remember that Moses had just finished passing the baton of leadership to Joshua. That meant that now Joshua had 3 million Israelites. They were looking to him for leadership. Do you think he felt overwhelmed, overworked, that he didn't know how to make all those decisions and directions in his life? Well, this is what God spoke to Joshua. I think he's speaking it to us now. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. God says, be strong and courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law, that is our Bible, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And here's the key in verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that great news? My goodness. Now, how many of you would like to prosper a little bit more wherever you go? Yeah? We want to prosper. How many of you would like to be have more successful relationships, deeper relationships, more successful business endeavors, and more fulfilling lives. Speaking quite honestly, I don't prosper as much as maybe I should. That's being honest. I get distracted by life, and work gets hard, and I worry and concern about my kids and my grandkids and my business, and I'm going to retire next March, and man, how can I live off of Social Security and all those fun things that go with getting older? In fact, I tend to perspire more wherever I go, right? I try to do things too hard by my own efforts, but God says, be strong. Let me be your strength. Be courageous because I'm right there beside you. You don't have to fear or lose hope because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God will be with us in every battle. He will never leave us or forsake us, but he will be with us wherever we go. But there is a requirement. And we glossed over it a little bit. We talked about it a little bit. It's there in verse 8. Let's look at that again. It says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall, and there's the word we're going to look at, meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So what's the prerequisite to make your way prosperous and to have good success? God says, the book of the law, God's word, the Bible, God's specific revelation to man should never depart from your mouth. We should be speaking it, talking about it, ingesting it, making it part of our lives. But the word there is we should meditate on it day and night. The idea is we should be constantly, daily in God's word, seeking his wisdom and direction in our lives. That word meditate in Hebrew is very interesting. It has two interesting meanings. Both of these meanings apply to us tonight. And if you're a note taker, mediate in Hebrew is ha-ga. Think hee-haw, hee-haw. But ha-ga, ha-ga. Okay, it's meditate in Hebrew. To meditate in Hebrew actually means we are to speak out loud God's word. It's not just mumbling. It's not just thinking about God's word as I'm reading it. But we're to read it out loud. We're to be verbalizing what God's word says. Remember the promise or blessing that we got from Revelation? Blessed or happy is he who reads, that is, reads out loud, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. See, the Bible, man, those bookends, all talking about the same thing. And I have found this to be true in my own life. Yes, God hears the groanings of our heart. Man, when we're in serious loss, when we've lost a loved one, when we've, I don't know how you're going to get me through this, Lord. And you don't even know what to say or how to respond. When you're heartbroken and man, God hears those groanings of your heart, but he's not talking about that. He's saying that reading God's word out loud has huge benefits. First thing, science tells us that we remember things better when we speak them out loud. Did you know that? When we speak out a text, like if you're trying to memorize a verse card, don't just keep reading it every day. Yeah, got it. Got it. that isn't the idea. Speak it out loud. It will help you remember it. But we also learn how to pronounce all those hard names and places in the Bible. Let's face it, when we're speaking it out loud, we can't just gloss over it. It can't, oh yeah, King David or Daniel was speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, when we're saying Nebuchadnezzar. So you can mumble over that if you don't know what it is. And here's the idea. If you don't know how to say it, what does it force us to do? Forces us to do some study and see how to say it. So we get even more into God's word. And also speaking God's word, man, it makes us slow down. We can't think as fast. We have to slow down and think more about what we're reading. But the second Hebrew meaning for this word meditate or haga, right, is to ponder, to muse, to carefully think about what's been said. We might say today, in today's terms, we want to chew on that a bit, think about it, kind of like a cow chewing on its cud. Yeah, it's trying to get every little last bit of moisture out of that cud. Yeah, because, yeah, I'm a cow. You know, we're chewing on it. We're thinking about it. We're trying to extract as much out of God's word as we can. That's what that word meditate in Hebrew means. That's why King David ends Psalm 19 with, man, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, those things that you have implanted in there from your word, God, may they be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So how does God reveal himself? General revelation, specific revelation, and personal revelation. The Holy Spirit then guides us, each believer, into all truth. So we're to spend time with God, night and day. Spend time in his word, meditating, speaking out loud, and chewing on every word. So, final question I have for tonight. You can put your close up your Bibles. I'd really like you to look at me for a second. Last question I have for you tonight. How is God revealing himself to you today? Now. What would he like you to do? Sit with him for a moment. Spend some time with him and learn from God. Scripture tells us, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this evening, for this time. Father, we thank you for your holy word. It's so rich, so satisfying. Father, it truly is sweeter than honey, sweeter than the honeycomb. It's more majestic than anything that you've created because it helps lead us and guides us according to your plan. Father, we desire that now. We desire a fresh revelation of your spirit in our lives. So, Father, bless my brothers and sisters. Father, help them seek you closer every day. And, Father, as they seek you, reveal your purpose for their lives. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.